TJ Reeves, welcome into the game in Tuscaloosa. I hope you're doing well.
I am doing well, and ribs for Christmas. Yeah, I'm down with that. Dreamland ribs, Rendezvous ribs in Memphis. Got a great barbecue joint in Tampa. If the Tide make the college football championship game 2 years from now, go ahead and make your date, Ryan Fowler. We'll get some Alex's barbecue and some Alex's ribs.
Alex's barbecue. What's it like? What is it, a dry or a wet rib?
Alex's is more of like the St. Louis style rib, not the dry rub, but the St. Louis style rib. So Alex's does a great job in North Tampa. So you know, just get some plugs in. You're getting the Dreamland plug in. I get a plug in Tuscaloosa from my man Alex in North Tampa.
I don't know how beneficial that'll be to Alex, but
exactly.
We'll see.
If Tide fans are down here in a couple of years, I can find Alex. At some point. Hey, can I add to the Jim Harbaugh stuff, because I know that's one of the things you want to talk about.
Let's go.
Tonight, an unnamed, and this is as credible as what I'm about to lay out can be, an unnamed former Michigan All-American player that I am very familiar with, that I am in constant contact with, who played around the Harbaugh era, just after Harbaugh, as a matter of fact, so I'm zoning in to his era without zoning into him, has told me on more than one occasion it is not a rubber stamp that Michigan would even offer him the job, much less would go down the road and negotiate, much less offer him the job, I should say, just from the standpoint that there are fences that still need to be mended there with a lot of the important people, money, alumni, former players, that kind of thing, from when he left. And who knows what's going to happen, but Ryan, my prediction would be he's an NFL coach at this point. And the Oakland Raiders are salivating for potentially the opportunity to hire him from across the bay in San Francisco. The Miami Dolphins owner, Stephen Ross, who tried to hire him about 3 years ago before the 49ers hired him, is very interested. And I think Jim Harbaugh could get a similar deal for that kind of money that's being kicked around. And I heard what you said, Bruce Feldman, poo-pooing the price tag. But an NFL offer might be coming his way for similar type money. So, do you want to go back to college and recruit 18, 19, 20-year-olds, or do you only want to coach football? That's the real question there with Harbaugh. And so I don't think it's a rubber stamp that he's going to Michigan, much less that they've actually offered it to him. And one other thing to point out here is that agents love this kind of conversation. They love to get those figures out in the public because it gets you a better deal somewhere, even if there's not a lot of validity to this report that's out there.
TJ Reeves right now inside the game here in Tuscaloosa on Tide 99.1. I'm one of those that I believe in the big brands of college football. I think college football is better when you have a Michigan that's good, when you have an Ohio State that's good, an Alabama that's good, a USC that's good. So as we watch that, to me, it's important for the brand of college football. If not Jim Harbaugh, who? Who's out there?
Great question. And you saw today that Boston College re-upped Steve Adazio, who's only been there a couple of times, and you follow the bouncing ball. Adazio's former offensive coordinator at Florida, was at Temple for a couple of years as the head coach, has now been at Boston College for a couple of seasons, just completing his second season, and he suddenly gets a new contract. And he allegedly was on Michigan's radar as well. Dan Mullen's name, to bring it back around to the region, and the SEC has also been mentioned, but there's nothing concrete about him going that way. And, you know, maybe there's another NFL name that might interest them, and they're waiting for the end of the NFL season. It's wild, as you mentioned, that this is one of the brand names of college football. Michigan would largely be regarded as one of the top 15 jobs right now. Maybe, you know, it used to be a top 10 job, if not a top 5 job, but it's certainly a top 15 job. And yet that job has remained open while Nebraska and Oregon State and Florida and several others are filling their job that are prominent Big Five conference schools. So it's got to be frustrating right now if you're a Michigan fan to watch all of this going on and you're still sitting without a head coach.
You know, you look at the parity in college football. We're talking about 85 scholarships. We're talking about the money. It's becoming, I call it socialism in college football. We're dividing the pot rather than, you know, bigger pots being distributed. In other words, your programs are more equal. You've got the SEC network. You've got the TV rights. These deals are being divided. The SEC, 14 times, 14 divided into one pot rather than a lot of money being generated at each school. So you look at the parity. Maybe that's the conversation. But I look at Michigan for a couple of minutes. They cannot afford to strike out on this one. They got to hit a home run deep center field on this higher.
Well, and you point that out because they went through what was an awful last couple of years for Rich Rodriguez, and then it looked like they had turned it around with Brady Hoke. And the real fight up there, you know, how the talk in Tuscaloosa for many years was that it had to be a descendant of Bear Bryant and the Bear Bryant tree, and that always played in. And really, the Tide got away from that with the Mike Price hire that turned out to be a fiasco and immediately turned to Mike Shula, who had played just after Bear Bryant had been the coach, but the Shula name was a brand name, and then went the route of Nick Saban with no connection to Bear Bryant in that instance. So Michigan kind of reached back for Brady Hoke, who had a connection, had coached on Bo Schembechler's staff previously, had a Michigan connection for that reason, and he turned them into an 11-win team, and remember, they won the Sugar Bowl with Virginia Tech back three seasons ago. Unfortunately, it has fallen apart since then. So I don't think they can hang their hat on a descendant of Bo Schembechler anymore. That's 25 years ago. I mean, Ryan, that's an entire generation ago. So at this point, you got to find the best available coach, and it is kind of hard to fathom that they have struggled the way that they have struggled because they've got a lot of advantages in terms of brand name, built-in recruiting, and that kind of thing, and they've not been able to get it done.
TJ, as we look at 13 teams, either 6-6. 6-7, losing records, 13 out of, you've got 76 total teams that are going to a bowl, 38 total bowls, not counting the national championship game, which would put it at 39 total bowls. Do we have too many?
Yes. In a word, yes. And I have preached this on national radio, not just Fox Sports Radio, but previously on Sirius XM on national radio for 10 years. And this is, Ryan, when we had about 25 bowls, and now we've added 13 more. The most ridiculous example was a couple of years ago when Illinois and UCLA were playing in a bowl game. Can't even tell you what the bowl game was. Don't remember. But Ron Zook had been fired by Illinois, and Rick Neuheisel had been fired by UCLA. If your coach is getting fired, you don't need to be in a bowl game. And yet they were playing each other, both with, I believe at that point, both were 6-6. And UCLA may have even been 6-7 and lost the Pac-12 title game. They won the division with a 6-6 record and lost the Pac-12 title game a couple of years ago when they fired Neuheisel. That's an incredible example of there are just too many of these, and your eyes start to glaze over. And the other thing is, it's not a reward anymore. It's no longer a situation where you've attained something. It's by default, we have to have X number of teams from each league tied into these games, and ESPN is 100% behind this because they want to televise college football in December and in January. And Ryan, we may be headed to the point where we have 50 bowl games, where we have 100 Division I teams, and a bunch of them with losing records be in bowl games.
How laughable is that? I mean, it's crazy to even think about it. And I didn't even think about the point that you made when you think about coaches that are being fired, and then you're rewarding the team. That's just right. It's crazy of to even think about that. 38 different bowls, and I'm not cracking on Birmingham. That's 45 minutes north, but I can promise you, it's not a reward going to Birmingham for January the 1st.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing to do there. I mean, you could show them the
Botanical. And there's a lot of other bowl games that are in that boat right now, too, and have trouble selling tickets. They're a midweek game being televised maybe during the day, midweek in December, even though school is out. For the college students, it's tough for them to be able to get to where you're going. So it's become a television entity. It's become a television situation there with that. You know, and here's one other example that I always use. I'm going to date myself a little bit. But in the late 1980s, when Brett Favre was at Southern Miss, I remember this one year with Curly Holman as the coach. I'm going right back. I may even predate you on this, Ryan Fallon. I believe that this was the days of the 11-game schedule, and they were 9-2, I believe, one year as an independent, not in a league. With Brett Favre as their quarterback, they were 9-2, and they did not get in a bowl game. And I remember Curly Holman and the Southern Miss people being beside themselves because back in those days, there were probably only 18 bowl games besides, you know, including the New Year's Day games, and they got left out. with a 9-win season. A 9-win season almost guarantees you a New Year's Day game now, New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. So that's how far we've come in this process in 25 years or so.
And I don't know if you saw the numbers earlier this week. It's the lowest attendance in college football. Now that's important to you and I because we are college football fanatics. You host a college football show there on Fox Sports. And I'm looking at it dropping. Those numbers are dropping. It's the lowest attendance numbers on a national scale in 14 years. The money's going back
to
the TV.
The TV ratings have been pretty good.
Yeah, sure they have.
And that's the reason why they keep adding these bowl games. So the bottom line is that ESPN won, and they own like 15 of these games. In my market here in St. Petersburg, they own the St. Petersburg Bowl. And there's probably a dozen other ones that they actually own and run the game. And their employees are running it. They televise it. So I understand they're in business to televise bowl games, and I guess at the point in time when the college football fan, when the gamblers, let's be honest, when the people that are watching, for their NFL team, possible pro prospects, that kind of thing, when they stop watching, then maybe we'll stop having this many games. But right now, it appears we're headed north. We're headed to 50 games. We're at 38 now. Is it unrealistic to think there's going to be 40 by next year? And maybe 45 bowl games within 2 or 3 years?
You know, I think it's a dangerous business. I'm not trying to be critical of ESPN. We're an ESPN affiliate here in Tuscaloosa.
Right.
But I think it's shaky water if you're going to be that media role, be this invested in college football. It's,
You understand it from their standpoint.
Sure, you do.
It is obviously something that people watch or they wouldn't keep adding that many games. That's an obvious point. They would not have added 8 to 10 more bowl games in the last few years if people weren't watching. But you bring up a great point about, you see these games, and you'll see this coming up here in the first couple of weeks of December, where there's a stadium with 15,000 people in it. Then that's a bowl game, and it's a midweek in the afternoon because ESPN's trying to shoehorn televising all the games live, and you'll see two teams playing, and there'll be 15,000 or 20,000 there at the game, and 30, 40, 50,000 empty seats. But people are watching. Eyeballs are watching on the tube. So that's where it's headed.
20 national titles between the two, Alabama and Ohio State, two of the biggest brands in college football. The clash of the Titans. Winning percentage, two of the elite as well. Looking at Ohio State, Alabama. Let's break this game down. What do you see in this game as we are now 14 days from today in New Orleans?
I still go back to one thing that you cannot escape. Alabama has played much tougher competition the entire season. You can say what you want about Wisconsin in the Big Ten title game and Ohio State annihilating them. But when you come down the stretch of a season and you're playing against Mississippi State and Auburn in an SEC title game with Missouri, it is not the same thing for Ohio State to be talking about. We beat Minnesota late. We beat Michigan. Yes, it's your rival at home. And we beat Wisconsin. So now we get into, okay, it's been 4 weeks before they actually tee it up, and how much does that really mean? But I think Alabama's a much more tested team. And I know we're in the South, and you're right there in the center of it in Tuscaloosa, and we're almost ingrained to believe this way. But, I mean, there's a reason why the SEC has such a staggering record right now in the last 7 or 8 years in all the bowl games and in the BCS bowl games and head-to-head with the Big Ten. They've owned the Big Ten. Since 2000, they're winning at like a 70% clip against the Big Ten, and I think you'll see more of the same in the Superdome when we get to the X's and O's of that game in a couple of weeks. But, I mean, Alabama's heavily favored for a reason. They've played better competition, Ryan, period. They have been tested repeatedly down the stretch of the season. Much more so than Ohio State has. So you have to favor the Tide.
Do you believe defense still wins championships?
Yes. Yes. And I think you're going to see that much more so probably in the other semifinal game with Oregon and Florida State because both of those teams are lesser defensive teams than I think the two teams are that are in the Superdome in Alabama and Ohio State. And it may be in that Rose Bowl situation, whoever gets the stop in the second half or in the fourth quarter is going to win that game. You may see a ton of points in that game, and I think you may see a fairly low-scoring Sugar Bowl later in the night because both of those defenses are better. But, yeah, to your point, if you come up with some defense, you find a way to play some defense, you've got a great chance, and I think Alabama and Ohio State are the two teams that play the best defense out of the four that are left in the playoffs.
And if you look at the offense, Alabama's able to parlay that into a great offensive unit. Lane Kiffin, the amazing job that he's done here in Tuscaloosa. Really a record-setting year. Offensive numbers for Alabama. We're not accustomed to this. I've just got to be honest. It's just something that, you know, it's third and one, and you see Lane Kiffin dropping back and throwing the football.
In the shotgun, in the spread, with no tight end. Yes, exactly.
And you've got the fanatics in the corner of the end zone going, that's not Alabama football. That's not Alabama football. Third and one, and you're throwing. Please help us out, Lane Kiffin.
Well, as long as it succeeds, I mean, ultimately, I'll tell you one more funny one. I know you got to go in a second. I've been watching. I happened to see it. I think it was today, earlier today. They're showing on the SEC Network the 82 Auburn-Alabama game, Bo Jackson's freshman year, and I know Alabama fans don't remember it finally because Auburn broke the 10-year losing streak winning that game. But my point is they were both wanting the wishbone or the option. They were not throwing at all in this game. At all until the very end when Alabama was trailing and forced to throw with Walter Lewis. So it's hilarious to watch old school 1980s Auburn, Alabama, where the forward pass was almost like blasphemy. Nobody between Pat Dye and Bear Bryant was going to line up and throw the ball until you absolutely have to. And now you got an Alabama team that airs it out like an NFL team that's got a quarterback throwing the ball 30, 40 times a game, as you mentioned, has a receiver catching for 1,500 yards in Amari Cooper. Yeah, this is not yesterday. This is not your Bear Bryant and your old SEC football.
TJ Reeves, you can find him there on the Twitter account, the Buck sideline guy. You can also hear him each Saturday night covering college football with the College Football Show on Fox Sports Radio. TJ, as always, man, thanks so much for being a part of our show in Tuscaloosa. Merry Christmas to you.
Same to you, my friend. Look forward to all the mayhem of the games, and that leads to the college football playoff. We can't wait. Be well.